Hey, Vivian.
It's working. I've been having issues with my camera all morning. Every time I try to turn it on, I kind of flicker back and forth. It's very strange.
Okay.
Like I'm a ghost. But it's working now. How
Well,
are
now
you
you just look
lately?
like an astronaut. I'm all right.
Yeah, the choices are look like an astronaut or see Megan, our office manager, by in her space behind me. So. Hey, Jennifer.
Hello, how is everyone?
Doing all right?
Doing all right. Been in meetings all morning.
Yeah.
And
Sounds.
they all run over. So I was like, I have to bounce. It's like, okay, gotta go. Bye. Okay, gotta go. Bye. Okay, gotta go. Bye. This is my last meeting today, though.
That's good. Yeah, I, you know,
Unless you
I.
count meeting with my therapist this afternoon.
Well, I don't think that counts. But I started scheduling meetings like at starting at like 10 or 15 minutes like after the hour.
Just to give people that extra time.
Yeah, and it really helps because we
Okay.
tend to be all in the same meetings, which is I it's just a little ridiculous, but
Yeah. You know, for our go live last year, we just did an open Zoom all day, and where people could come in and like
gosh.
get questions answered, or
Yeah.
just sort of get their hand held while they logged in, for the first time and all the rest. The
Yeah.
result was that I talked for about 9 hours straight.
That is too much. I mean, I don't know what it is about Zoom, but after like, even 3 hours, I'm just like, ugh, I
Yeah.
can't take it anymore.
Well, I have this fear of silence in an online meeting. So if nobody's talking, then I feel compelled to fill that silence. And so that's what a good portion of our go live day was me, is me filling the silence.
Sharing stories of migrations.
I mean, it was pretty smooth migration, frankly. The go live day was generally pretty quiet. So.
Actually pretty good. So was our, I mean, we had a lot. We had maybe 2 years of just practice updates, which really, because we have a sandbox too, so that was really helpful. But yeah, I mean, we were able to do, even migrate some stuff from Coral into agreements and,
Excellent.
our open orders. Yeah, so.
All right, we've talked our way through to a couple minutes after the hour.
Yep, I think we can probably go ahead and get started. Darcy, we didn't check in with you beforehand. Are you okay with taking minutes today?
Yep, no problem.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. And I see Dennis is on. And Jennifer, thank you for joining us today. Do you want to introduce yourself real quick?
Yeah, sure thing. Hi, everyone. My name is Jennifer Eustace. I'm a metadata librarian at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, which is in Western Massachusetts. I know normally don't come to the consortium sake, but yeah, even though we are a consortium, so UMass is part of the five colleges, which is Amherst College, Hampshire College, Mount Holyoke College, Smith College, and then of course UMass Amherst. Yes, we are the only public in the mix. And the largest too. And we are on a single tenant setup because when we went live, there was no ECS.
Jennifer's here
Excellent.
because she'll be representing non-ECS consortia at our presentation at WolfCon.
Yep. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. Before we get in there, any into that portion of the agenda, any updates or anything that needs to be shared with the team?
Lucy, would you link the agenda in the chat?
Well, I don't really have a link to the agenda,
Okay, well, never mind.
Vivian,
Sorry.
because that would require me having put it together outside of just a couple of bullet points that I threw into Slack.
Right, cool.
So yes. So, but basically it was, welcome introductions, any updates, then talking about the WolfCon session, and then Dennis continuing on with the tickets that belong to him. I think I updated everybody last time that was here. We are so Galileo, we are delayed our transition away from Alma until December. We are EBSCO is acting as if we're going live, so they are taking us through from their perspective, sort of the final what would have been our go live efforts right now, and we should get access next week to the system and kind of pick up where we left off. I'm mentioning this specifically because we are did ask our libraries and our implementation team to tell us sort of what their concerns were, not just for go live, but sort of longer term as well. And some of that might perhaps impact some of our priorities for this team. I will bring that information back to this group once we've kind of vetted it and gotten it gotten some filled out the details. Some of it's not going to be relevant for Folio. Some of it is specific to us. Some of it is OpenRS specific, but some of it could be like the fact that there are some workflows are a little cumbersome in Folio, and that might be something that we would want to take up with this group. So when I'm ready, I'll share the feedback from our teams with y'all, and we can do with that whatever we would like. Let's see, Elena, you've got a question?
Yeah, if folks have time for it. Just that we are trying to figure out how to enable walk-in borrowers from other consortial members, and we all have separate instances. So we were just kind of wondering how, if other consortiums did that and how they handled it, other than manually creating a patron in their own instance.
So we will have that, and in fact, the our ability our inability to test that was one of the reasons why we delayed going live. However, we'll be using OpenRS for that, Elena.
Us too. Us too. Yeah, in fact, we are getting our Ramsons Locate 2.0 and OpenRS update all tonight. And as of tomorrow, the ability to whoop under Sierra land, it's called visiting patron. So we're just still kind of calling it that, but we'll be getting the visiting patron should be live as of tomorrow, which will allow, other consortia members to just walk in to one of our libraries and check out a book, and the transaction is handled through the OpenRS slash DCB software.
Okay, so it's actually currently built into the programming of OpenRS.
Yeah, well, it got added in. I mean, yeah,
Yeah.
it was not something that was there initially, but it was part of our contract. I think it's part of Galileo's contract. And so it has been added in.
Okay, because we have reshare, so which does not have that capacity at the present.
Nope. I'm
But other
sorry.
than that,
I know a little
manually.
too much about reshare slash OpenRS politics.
Yeah, manually adding it, I think, would be the only other way to do it right now.
That we can
Although
think of right now, yeah.
When I was in Florida various systems ago, we had sort of a lookup that we would do, kind of behind the scenes that wasn't native functionality with the system. So I don't know, that's Dennis, are you aware of any tickets or anything around this issue?
No, I don't think so. You can do a quick search, but
So it might be a, at least the ability to sort of look up a patron in an external system might be a good interim step, perhaps.
all right. I was just wondering
Because you're
if
looking for like
anyone.
to outside of your consortia, you said, right?
No, within the
Within
consortia.
the consortia? Okay.
Yeah. So basically, kind of like OpenRS, we were like, well, I was like, this seems like it would be, since we use reshare, this seems like it would be something that could get built into reshare, but currently does not exist. So, all
So that
right.
would be another approach. Ask reshare to do it. Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you all.
All right. Any other updates or comments or thoughts from anybody? Okay. I think we wanted to make sure I got this in the right order. Thank you, Darcy, for putting the agenda in there. Yeah. WolfCon panel is the next thing, is the next item. So let me just pull up the, let's see, let me make sure I've got it first on the screen. There it is. Yep. Give me 1 second to share the screen. Share every time I come in. Do this differently. Share. All right. So this is our session in the WolfCon schedule right now, which again, if you just Google WolfCon 2025 and then look for the schedule, this is all public information. Although I think they are still finalizing some of the details here. I think there's still some stuff that's moving around, but this is what our session looks like right now. So join a panel of consortia using Folio as we discuss the status of their implementations, what's going well, what could be improved, what's in the development roadmap. Dennis will facilitate the discussion, and then also we'll include a review by consortia SIG conveners, me and Vivian, of emerging consortial priorities. So Vivian has asked Jennifer to join us. So we would have Galileo, Mobius, and University of Massachusetts on here as participants. And I think, Vivian, you just wanted to talk to the group a little bit about, you know, what kind of topics should we be talking about here and any things that you feel like we should definitely address.
Wow, talk about putting me on the spot. I actually asked the question, I think last week, of Lucy and Dennis, hey, maybe we should talk about what we're going to talk about. Because I haven't the foggiest idea what we're going to talk about. And I don't really have anything as a suggestion. I know that when we had discussed this months ago, we'd agreed that Dennis was going to be the MC and was going to field the questions and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think maybe I assumed that Dennis had some things that he might want to talk about, you know, being the product owner of ECS and all that. But yeah, I don't really have anything to suggest. I kind of assumed that it would be a panel of answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do know, you know, WolfCon Chicago, there was a consortium panel and no one in the audience had any questions. So I just made one up.
So
go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, I don't want to step on your answer here, but I did do some thinking about this. And so I do have questions. I have a list of questions and I'm not sure. I guess I wasn't sure. Do you all want to see those questions?
Sure, Dennis.
Yeah, I mean, it might be helpful. Okay. You know, I mean, I love playing Stump the Chump, but, you know.
Yeah. I guess you got to rehearse the show. So where would you like me to put these? The chat might be not the best place.
You want to share your screen?
Yeah, let's do that. Sure. Because there are quite a few. And this is, you know, obviously at this point, just kind of brainstorming. I don't know how much of this, I don't really know how many questions we're going to have time for.
But we have 50 minutes total.
Yeah.
And we wanted to have some time for sort of the roadmap as well, I think. And
yeah.
At least 5 minutes to kind of talk about prioritization. So probably half an hour.
Yeah, so I have lots of questions. We will definitely not get into all of this stuff, but the general sections, I thought we talk a little bit about your kind of strategy coming into the project, using Folio in this sort of collaborative context as like a group of libraries, and a little about the community influence on your implementation, something like that. Then functional impact and outcomes. So like it for those who are live at this point, like since going live, what have you observed kind of stuff. Have you identified any metrics to kind of evaluate the success of your implementation? Like, whether, I guess, whether you're live or not, going through that process. Thinking about in here, kind of thinking about information that might be useful for libraries that might be considering, implementing this as a in a consortial context, or even maybe just using the ECS functionality as not necessarily a consortium, because that may happen at some point. And then talk about lessons learned. If you could go back, what would you tell your former self? Those kind of questions, that sort of idea. Is there anything you would change about the configurations that have been made or anything like that? And then looking forward would be another section at the end. That's the part that's more about what do you envision Folio evolving into in a way that meets your needs? What enhancements have you maybe already suggested, or do you want to see added to ECS or OpenRS? I should probably be mentioning more tools in this context. I kind of thought of it as like Folio specific. So like Folio functionality, ECS functionality, but maybe we should broaden some of those questions.
Well, I wonder now, Dennis, now that we're including Jennifer, and now that we're including a non-ECS consortium, I mean, yeah, ECS is a biggie when it comes to the consortia, but
Not
there's
everyone.
also it would be interesting to give some of these questions the like the non-ECS perspective.
I had a couple that were like, given you implemented before ECS was available. I can't remember how I was thinking of those, but I was, thinking about sort of teasing that out. How did that influence your implementation? What were kind of the pros and cons, based on what you've observed of the functionality that has kind of come to be? That might be a tough question to answer. I don't know, but yeah, it would be kind of interesting to talk about what the experience has been in like the single tenant scenario more specifically. Give those folks more time to
I
ramble.
mean, I imagine I could come up with a few questions. I've got a couple, that are kind of sitting right off the top of my head as far as, how a, because of course with Mobius, we thought we were going to be a non-ECS consortium,
Beginning, yeah.
and, ECS kind of got developed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to say for us in Galileo, but definitely in conjunction with the Mobius and Galileo implementations. I mean, it's funny because you say, what if you could go back and change something, what would you change? And I would have said, yeah, having a final product at the outset rather than something that was being developed while we were implementing.
We're definitely running into those answers, I guess, if we ask these questions, but
I mean, I can definitely give this some thought as well and maybe throw some questions at you. Or, honestly, I mean, other folks here too. That was kind of part of the, I think what we envisioned is what do y'all think? Or do you all think?
so Wilhelmina says we could ask for people to be plants in the audience. True. There should be something about Folio members and non-Folio members. I'm not sure. Wilhelmina, what do you mean?
For example, in Georgia Tech will not go to Folio. There should be something about like, and I think in Mobius, like some in many institutions, they are not on Folio, right? It's only some of the members are on it. The large consortium in Germany that is using Folio is split between Folio and Alma. So there should be something in there about like that kind of relationship because pretty normal.
Collaboration with non-folio libraries. Okay.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, our non-folio libraries are connecting with us via OpenRS.
Yeah, but I mean, it should be something about that because I think that is like a really common relationship.
I mean, you know, what I mean, kind of going back to what Elena was talking about, you know, consortia that are using reshare versus OpenRS. Or consortia that are not using any third, you know, any third product. How are they interacting?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Try to prompt some discussion around like the fully managed system or the fully homogeneous ILS system versus having, you know, some outliers. And what
I'm
challenge?
not 100% certain where this would fit in, but a question that I might have for the non-ECS consortia would be, how are you collaborating? You know, all in a single tenant requires a certain amount of collaboration. How are you also maintaining your separate identity, you know, as a library within a single tenant consortium?
It's a balancing act.
I imagine it is, yeah.
Yeah. Does anyone know how many single tenant consortiums are out there? I'm not sure if we're the only. I don't think we're the only
Yeah,
ones.
I don't know if it's like consortium, but I think there are like libraries that are using it. Like the overall library system is a central tenant, and then each branch is the like member tenant.
Yeah, so we have our so ours is the consortium is the overarching organization. And then each, you know, what is it, comes after that? Is it library? Is the actual libraries of the consortium?
Yeah, but I mean, Darcy,
Yeah.
y'all are using it like that, right? Where it's just one library, but each of your buildings is like a library within the, or is a member tenant, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have four different like administrative, organizationally administrated libraries. So we kind of operate the whole thing as a consortium having to agree with each other on the tenant settings and, you know, various other things so that we can work together on a single tenant.
I think some of this stuff of like how when you're logged in and searching inventory, how it more emphasizes like the whole and there's not really way to limit to just member tenant is because many implementations are that relationship where it's one library, but then each like within each physical location will be a member tenant.
I think it would be interesting to have the five colleges participate as well, because they would be one of the other groups that has been a single tenant for like a long period of time now, live. And I know from talking to them over the years that they have come up with some interesting workarounds and things to manage. You know, to balance tensions, the group decision making that they've managed to succeed in doing, but I think still presents a challenge. Like if there was maybe there would be someone from five colleges that would want to participate as well.
Dennis,
So,
that's why
well, that's
Jennifer's here.
Jennifer. Yeah, I mean, I can always get
Sure.
our system librarian, Aaron Neslin. He can talk about the more like system parts of it as well. But yeah, UMass is part of the five colleges, so Yeah, I it's interesting because our structure in terms of committee actually reflects what Folio is doing, which is really interesting. And then we have tons of agreements, handoff, agreements and ways in which we work so that it all works together more or less. Yeah.
Yeah, this is my Canadian ignorance showing through as I confuse UMass with MSU. A lot of the
Yeah.
M somethings. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. We're the big, as we say, Tower of Doom in our consortium. So our library is 26 stories, and yeah, I don't know why they built it like that, but it was supposed to.
26 stories?
Wow.
It is. It's a tower. Because they wanted it to be the tallest building in Western Massachusetts. And for a long time, the bricks would fall off it. But the other schools have much, better libraries. You
Dudley
have a
Library.
picture? Yeah, they don't fall off anymore. But there is a Peregrine Falcon now that, they come every year and fly around the library. It's pretty funny,
That's really impressive. I my undergraduate is Indiana U, and I worked at the library. I worked in the graduate library, which is 11 stories high. 26 is kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely it's funny because you go from the big tower and then you go off to Amherst and Amherst and the others are very, very small, Hampshire being the smallest. Yeah.
So I'm wondering, at the time that I agreed to do this, I mean, we were planning on having Galileo be live. We will not be live by September, and I'm happy to still do this. Perhaps that will make for a more interesting conversation. I don't know, but if you'd like to have, somebody else who is live on, ECS, we could ask Library of Congress to sub in for me, if y'all think that would be appropriate.
Well, who
I
might
mean,
be good to
go
reach
ahead.
out to is like Ingolf Kuss is in the large consortium in Germany that like half the members are on ALMA and half are on Folio, and they keep their central catalog records in ALMA network zone and then have Folio talking to that. So like there are things like that where it's like I don't know if your focus is true consortia versus ECS as a tool. Like Library of Congress is not a consortium. It's using ECS, but like maybe your focus is consortium and they are using Folio regardless of whether they are using ECS. So like Jennifer
Yeah.
Eustace is a true consortium, but working with a true consortium, but not using ECS.
I
And
guess
to
it's
me,
more about
yeah.
using Folio in a consortial manner.
Yeah, to me, like the goals in a consortium are going to be different. Like there's going to be more like trying to bring together very different workflows or like differently situated members and Hessing deserves all of them.
Yeah, I think I'm inclined to agree that I'd rather have consortia than single libraries using ECS. I mean, Library of Congress is huge, of course. And I mean, they could be effectively a consortium. But I mean, Lucy, I don't think you should step out, honestly. Unless you just cannot do it, I wouldn't want you to step
No,
out
I
of
can
personal
do
reasons.
it. I'm just, some of the questions will be, I'll be, I won't be able to answer because we won't be live yet.
Right. And I don't think we can fit all these questions into half an hour. So, we can definitely edit this list of questions and add some more questions in that are not necessarily ECS focused, so that we get a nice mixture of ECS, non-ECS, consortial function generally, you know, how your members are interacting, et cetera.
And that's a
Perfect.
good point too, because like we the question that we continually posed as a consortium was, what were our go live requirements? And once we were kind of getting ready, we'd have to get, all the deans and directors would have to get together and was like, have we met these? And each director, so there's one dean and the rest are directors. They all have different visions for Folio, right? I mean, it's a true, yeah, it's a consortium. So trying to get them on the same page is like, I don't know. It's what's worse than herding cats. But that might be really interesting to see, just hear about your process. So, you delayed going live, but why, what wasn't met that you really need for your consortium?
Okay. We can, I mean, Mina, to your point, we could reach out to what was the cons who was it in Germany that you mentioned?
Ingolf Kuss, and I can't find the name of his consortium because I just find the name of whatever institution he's in. But I know he is pretty active with Folio SIGS. Like, I want to
Okay.
say he was the systems one, he was involved with that for a while. And it's like he's in a consortium where like half the members are on Alma and half on Folio. He tries to do things like get Folio to talk to the Alma network zone.
How do you spell his last
HPZ.
name? He's at HPZ.
Kuss. Yeah. Let me see if I
He's
put it
with
on a comment.
HBZ, HBZ.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't look like they are doing
But I mean,
any.
I do think that the goals, right? The goals for a consortium are going to be different, right? It's going to be things like identify last copy, and like maybe Library of Congress would have that goal as well, but it's not going to be the same. Like consortium's going to be like identify last copy, but you have like 30 members and all of them have a copy at some point, and then you've got your last copy, whereas Library of Congress might have only gotten one and they've already done, things like that. And like you the true consortia will have different goals.
I don't see HBZ is one person from there will be there. I don't see, let me see if he like search attendees. Can I search attendees? I don't know if I can. Well, maybe not everybody's registered yet. I don't, I mean, a part of the issue was that I know international attendance at this in-person WolfCon has been a little problematic. We could, have them join us remotely. That would be fine. But I don't know that there, I think the international attendance is going to be significantly impacted this year.
I think if, yeah, virtual attendance is always tricky when for like, live discussion, but it might be, we could structure it a little bit to allow for some of those folks to contribute, especially to the last like section where we're talking like looking forward, because they'll have, I think it would be interesting to highlight that, and I'm just guessing here, but I think, based on these different use cases, right? The different models, so to speak, that folks are running, there are going to be very different expectations, very different like desires for the future. But also, I wouldn't be surprised if most of the end result that everyone's looking for is kind of aligned, so. Especially for this SIG group, for kind of building up some topics for discussion post WolfCon, I think that would be a really interesting section of the conversation, and it could include maybe more people from the audience, and we could even like post those questions in advance so that they can kind of contribute an answer. They could like submit the answer, through chat or something if the format, if it's just easier for them to do it that way,
So, are you saying that we should invite HPZ to join the panel?
Yeah, I don't know about join the panel. I think four. So would we have three at the moment?
Right now, we've got three.
Three. Yeah.
Me, Vivian, and Jennifer.
Yeah, I think four would be like get. I'm just trying to picture, you know, the amount of time we have. I have way too many questions here, probably, anyways. But trying to allow time for everyone to answer. Yeah, four seems like a good limit. Like three or four is probably a good number.
Martina?
Hello, everyone. I'm sorry, I was away from keyboard and I just heard HBZ. So we are not, we won't be there in person. So due to travel budget and constraints and all that. So I'm not sure if we are the right consortia to engage in this conversation. Due to being mainly an Alma consortium, and we are not that far along with connecting or having consortial functionality between Folio and Alma, for example. So I think we are not the right per or the right institution, the right consortia to be at this panel. And sorry again, I was away from keyboard earlier
That's
on
okay.
and just caught this now. So sorry.
No worries. I'm not familiar with the GPV setup. Anybody else?
Only a little. I think it's the person would be Kristen, I think. I'll have to find her name again to reach out to. But I don't think they're I don't know if they're gonna attend virtually, but they're definitely not traveling to WolfCon this year either.
Yeah, it looks like they are participating at least somewhat virtually. Is it Kristen Kemner-Heek?
Yeah, I that's the one. Yeah.
Okay. Can't tell if she's registered or not yet.
The only other consortium that I know about is the Shanghai Libraries, but they're, I mean, I don't think they've ever come to a WolfCon, and their setup is very, very different. And I think they might be still on Goldenrod. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I could reach out to Kristen at GBV and just see if
Yeah, I
they'd be
mean, why
interested in
not?
joining us virtually. It would be the timing would not be terrible. I think we're on from like 1:10 to 2 o'clock Central. Well, that's going to be evening for Germany, isn't it? Okay. Mina, did you have your hand up again?
Yeah, I mean, to me though, the thing is, like, even so, for example, Lucy, even you, like, you're not live on Folio, but the point is, like, consortia will have needs that are different than just a library by itself. And for example, we made the decision here to go live on Folio at the exact same time as like the person at University of Texas, whatever, that was collaborating on something with. And then she went live 6 months later, probably because it's one library by itself. So a lot of times, like when you are doing actual consortial work, there are so few users that like you are the first person to or your first entity to hit an issue. And I put in the chat from the RFP, like a list of things that's from the FLVC RFP from 2015, but that's a list of things that like a consortia might encounter that would not necessarily be encountered within a standalone library. So things like you have different patron groups, different areas, you're trying to do like cost splitting, you're trying to show like return on investment with like
your ILL stuff. These are all things that like a standalone library wouldn't do, but like they might be like consortial specific. And to have like a standalone library participate on a panel because they're using a piece of software is not quite the same as having like an actual consortia talk about the process.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think we've landed on we don't want to invite Library of Congress. I will, and then I see Flo. Flo is, remind me what FLO was. It's the.
Fenway Libraries Organization.
Okay.
So Emerson is part of it, and us and three other libraries switched to Folio. This is, just our first year of it, and Flo just added and sort of the rest of the full members onto Folio like just now, like a few weeks ago. That's why I was asking my question about reshare, because basically when we were half on Voyager and half on Folio, our walking borrowing kind of fell apart a little bit. Like we had a system, and now on Folio, we're trying to figure out what to do. So you could ask Joe. I'm not sure which of the staff go. I th think he may be.
Okay. Okay.
But we, so we are a true consortium. We all are on separate instances. We all are now, the full members are all on Folio.
Okay. Thanks
And
for that,
we're
Elena.
primarily academic. We have the Museum of Fine Arts, but that's the only sort of public institution.
Okay. Well, it would be nice to get some international representation, so I will reach out to GBV and see what they say, and then reach out to Joe at Flow after that. Thank you. We do
Dennis?
only have 50 minutes on this again, Dennis. So, I mean, how much time? I mean, I said half an hour for this part, 10 minutes for you to do the roadmap, 5 minutes for me and Vivian to talk about sort of next steps and prioritization. Does that sound like enough time for you to do the roadmap?
I mean, I could do one feature and then we could move on to the priorities.
Okay.
That what you mean? Like reviewing features, right?
I mean, what we said was, I'm sorry, coming back again. What we said was, what's on the development roadmap? Question mark.
Yeah, sorry. I thought you meant kind of going through more refinement. So I don't really have slides or anything prepared with like a roadmap of all the consortia related functionality. I can put that together.
Well, yeah, you have till September, so yeah.
yeah, like I guess the other kind of question with that is are we talking about the community's roadmap or are we talking about, EBSCO's roadmap? I guess that might impact what things look like, right? Because the community does have a capacity plan, or they have like a roadmap, and I'm not sure if it really considers consortial functionality specifically. My only interaction with that community, roadmap or capacity planning has been with respect to acquisitions. I know they have lots of stuff laid out there, but
I think we're talking consortia functionality specifically. I don't think we're asking for like the entire Folio roadmap. That said, I think it is, I don't know that we need the entire thing reviewed, but just sort of, here's some stuff that we expect to look different 6 months from now.
I can put that together for sure.
Okay. And then we could segue then into a prioritization of like, and we are currently working on prioritizing things so that we can have input into that roadmap or the Folio roadmap in general.
Yep.
Okay. All right, this sounds good. And that took up about three quarters of our meeting. So let's leave it there. Dennis, you made it through two tickets that were assigned to you last time and got a little bit more feedback on those. Do you want to pick up with any others at this point?
So I certainly can. We were last talking about the authorization policies feature. And so the next one on the list here, if I were to share this, is managing list type settings for multiple tenants. I have a feeling this would be like a really interesting topic that we may need to dive a lot deeper into. This is a very high level feature that outlines basically it categorizes the areas of settings in Folio in a few different ways. Hang on, let me just log in here to show something. Okay, what was the log in here? Sorry.
That's the development. No one can log into Folio.
Yeah. Like, what environment is this? What am I looking at? Okay, there we go. So in the settings area, when we originally started kind of conceptualizing the Consortia Manager application, which is the thing that allows you to manage some settings, but across all of the tenants instead of just within a single tenant, we compartmentalized the different areas by categorizing them. So this was a list. A setting that is a list type, or sorry, list form. So it's a list of things that appear in the third pane, and then a form that needs to be filled out. So in this case, it's like you're actually creating calendar names or calendars. So there's a list of calendars, and every calendar is a form that you fill out. Was kind of a way of thinking that. Inventory is a good illustration of these, I think, all three types. So, yeah, something like the alternative title types. This is just a list, I think it was categorized as. So, it's a list of terms where you can add new. And we basically, Consortium Manager basically supports all of this type of settings page right now for the consortia. So if there are list of terms, in general, this type of settings area, Consortium Manager already supports. There is then the form type. So this is just the form. You click on a heading and you see a form. Consortium Manager does not support all of these areas at the moment. And the feature that we're looking at is list form. So yeah, I just showed one. Is there one in this area? I can't remember. Let's go to circulation. Something like staff slips. Again, it's like a list of things, but each thing has its own data. So this is kind of a different, this is a different type of settings area. So right now, that is sort of how this is defined, that this feature would cover the implementation of list form type settings pages, like the ability to manage those things for multiple tenants from the consortium manager. Obviously, that's super general. it's at least describing what's in scope here as allowing the user to manage those things, as in like create, edit, and delete those things, allow user to share a configuration to all members. So to have like one centralized version of the thing that can only be managed from the central place. The ability to, I would say potentially, because we haven't actually done this anywhere, but to share a configuration to select members. So rather than having the share to all, which typically we are supporting at the moment, to have it be a little more granular than that and say, I just want tenants 1, 2, and 3 to use this centralized version, and then I want tenants 4, 5, and 6 to use this other centralized version. Both would be controlled centrally, but not all of the tenants would have those things. So a slightly more complicated user interface to manage something like that, as well as, obviously technical side of it, actually making it work. And then to compare other two configurations. Yeah, allowing like a side by side that would make it easier to compare what the current settings are for all of those areas. Like, so if you have two tenants that have a different setting for that particular page, it would be easier to compare those. I think I have some mock-ups. Yeah, these might have been. Just to share to all. These aren't comparison templates. But the wiki or the mirror board might have more detail on this stuff. So it's identifying also like certain areas, circulation orders, agreements, as areas where this would be really valuable. So it actually specifically calls out staff slips, which is the area we were just looking at, the idea of having like centralized staff slips. And note patron notice templates, request policies, order templates, and agreements, general display settings for agreements were the areas that were sort of called out here. But we don't really have specific use cases. So it's just basically the stage we're at here is we think that these things would be helpful to define centrally. And maybe we in some conversations early on, these areas were mentioned, but we don't have specific use cases. So does anyone have a specific use case for managing staff slips centrally? Does your consortium do this, or would you like to do this for a specific reason?
Dennis, I gotta say, looking at this, and I don't, and I'm not answering the question about the staff slips, but all the use cases that I can think of for doing this are not included in the topic areas that you listed. So I could see like a use case for comparing. Well, I mean, comparing authorized functions now, but of course that's going away with Sunflower, in favor of roles. But comparing two different the authorized functions for two different roles, for instance, or pushing out since in our case, our inventory settings need to be the same across all the tenants so that we don't break OpenRS, if we define a new material type, the ability to push that out to all the tenants.
Yeah.
Or if a group, if a subgroup of our members decide that they, I don't know, decide that they don't want to take the time to figure out their own overdue notices. They just want to come up with a shared overdue notice to be able to define an overdue notice and to push it out to selected tenants, that kind of thing. So now that is a patron notices, so that would be included. But like I'm picturing inventory and user management very much as the functions that we would use this for.
Say that one more time, that you would
yeah,
use.
Yeah, sure. A subgroup of libraries decide that they, rather than each of them going through the work of creating their own overdue notice, they're just going to agree on a single overdue notice form, which is then defined centrally and pushed out to selected libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, library A might be like, no, I don't want to use a generic form. We have a very specific notice format. This is what we're doing. We've already figured it out, blah, blah, blah. Library B, C, D, and Q are like, yeah, we're a one-person library. We don't have time to figure this out. You figure it out and give it to us, and we'll... You figure it out and give it to us, and we'll complain if we don't like it.
I think that's really interesting that your use case is about user notices, because that was one thing that Stanford really wished was different in like a single tenant. It's a single tenant, but that we could have different notice text for the different, you know, members of our consortium.
Yeah.
So to hear someone say, oh, we want them to be centrally, we could want them to be centrally managed, is like, oh, we're just the opposite.
Right, exactly. And I think for most of our members, that's definitely the case. But we've got a lot of members that are very little libraries, and, you know, that maybe, I mean, and the thing is that, you know, we're live, we're implemented, everyone's already created their notices, but that's just something that I can think of. But again, mostly when I think about this functionality, I'm thinking about user management, particularly the comparison of authorized functions from user to user. Or we create, again, right now it's permission sets, and that will change to roles. We have a set of permission sets that we provide to our, you know, provide to our libraries as, here's a starting point. But we've always had to have EBSCO push those down to the 62 subtenants. And it sounds like, you know, we could use this functionality to create a role, to create it under Sunflower, to create a role, and then push that role out to the member library tenants.
Yeah, we did end up implementing that functionality for roles, like the ability to compare to the ability to compare two roles from different tenants, even, or from one tenant. The ability to compare two users from different tenants, or from a specific tenant, to compare their roles, capabilities, capability sets, essentially like all their permissions. We implemented all of that stuff in for Eureka, ECS Eureka, like the authorization roles through Consortium Manager. So you will,
that's great.
Yeah, when you upgrade specifically the like user and role or permissions related management stuff. Yeah.
And one that even just occurred to me would be like settings for data import, data export to be able to define a field mapping profile centrally and then push it out to whichever tenants needed it.
Yeah.
Rather than having to, just for my own purposes, you know, I've created a field mapping export table where I'm outputting the instance holdings and item HRIDs. It'd be nice if I didn't have to create 62 versions of that profile.
Yeah, I think there is a specific feature for data import for sharing those profiles. Just going to make note of that on the side here just to make sure I follow up on it.
I'm laughing because I'm sorry, Dennis. You sort of asked a question. I'm like, I don't have an answer for that question, but here's a whole bunch of other things for you to think about.
Yeah. I just, every time I come to a feature like this, like I almost want to say, because obviously we don't have any time left. If you are able, like take some time to think about this, you know, because my perspective on these areas right now is that although it sounds like, to me as someone who uses software in general, it sounds like a valuable function, right? The ability to like manage these settings for all these tenants centrally so you don't have to do it one by one. But every time I speak with users about this particular feature, it really comes across as like might be a nice to have and not, you know, based on the amount of time that might save you, that like when you're in the moment, this could be a really frustrating thing. But in the grand scheme, this probably is just a long way down your priority list of things that needs to be sped up, you know?
Yeah.
But if you can think of use cases that might kind of contrast that theory, then I would love to hear those and really like to include them here as a comment or, you know, send me a note, anything, whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah. Do you want to link this? Do you want to link this in the chat?
Yeah. Let me
I have it.
Yeah. Where did I lose the chat?
Because I'll just go add a comment.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Okay. And with that, I think we probably.
Yeah. And then Dennis, just really quickly, how did this particular one rank and as far as our overall ranking?
So this one right now, well, it has three votes.
Okay.
It is probably kind of near the bottom of the list. Should be right here. Sorry, maybe it has three watchers, but maybe it has no.
Okay, votes. No votes. Okay.
Yeah.
I just added myself as a watcher.
Okay.
Yeah, it has no votes right now.
All right. Well, maybe it's not a priority then.
Yeah.
refresh the page. It's got one vote now.
All right. I will ask the Gil staff. I know there's been some conversation around this, so I'll ask you if they've got any specific use cases for how we would want to use something like this and get that added in. But we are over time by several minutes. So thank you, everybody, for your patience. We will see you. Let me just make sure that we're meeting in 2 weeks. Should be on your calendar already. So that would be August 5th. Yep, it's on my calendar. I plan on being there. And we'll talk to you all then. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.
Yeah, well, Betsy Fleming has a Google Doc where she has templates for a lot of these, but it only has like two templates. So it's aspirationally going to be that.
Okay.
So the fulfillment committee was trying to do these.
Okay, I'll ask Sean to reach out to them and see what
Yeah.
and get some proof. Because I mean, if fulfillment does feel like the that's at least where most of the examples were, right?
Yeah,
Use cases.
I feel like it's a one-time setup to where having like the long-term management isn't important, because it's like you have to have so much conversation anyway. By the time you have the conversation, it's like just listen to a podcast and click it is not too bad. But yeah, well, bye.
All right. Bye, Mina.